The Berkshire International Film Festival opens tonight with the documentary Food and Country. The film looks at America's policy of producing cheap food at all costs, which has long hobbled small independent farmers, ranchers, and chefs. Trailblazing food writer Ruth Reichel reaches out across political and social divides to uncover the country's broken food system and the innovators risking it all to transform it. The film covers a rich cultural spectrum from fine dining rooms to far lands, discovering passionate, inspirational changemakers along the way. Ruth Reichel began writing about food in 1972 when she published her first book. Since then, she has authored the critically acclaimed best-selling memoirs Tender at the Bone, Comfort Me with Apples, Garlic and Sapphires, and For You, Mom, Finally, and many others. She also was the editor-in-chief at Gourmet magazine, and that was after she was the restaurant critic of the New York Times. It is a great pleasure to welcome back to our program Ruth Reichel. Good morning, Ruth. How are you?
I'm great. I'm happy to be talking to you.
Well, I'm delighted to talk to you. Thank you very much. We've had to move this interview around because of our fundraising schedule, and I thank you for being so patient. And I'm very excited for you tonight to be able to show the film and kind of experience that.
I'm very excited to be showing it here at home. I've been on the festival circuit. We opened at Sundance in January, but nobody at home has been able to see the film, so this is very exciting for me.
Now, the last time you and I talked, which was, I think, just post-COVID, or whatever that was, like a moment where a lot of people could take masks off. And we did an event down at the State University of New York, SUNY Albany, and our Creative Life series. And you were telling us about this film, of how it came about, of how you were home and the dots started coming together, and you wanted to connect those dots and figure it out. Give us a sense of what you were curious about, of what you wanted to explore.
Well, what I thought was that, I mean, people like me, I mean, I've been writing about food for more than 50 years, and we've been waiting for Americans to wake up and pay attention to food. And I thought this may be the moment. You know, COVID, people are at home for the first time. They're seeing empty shelves. They're experiencing the breakdown of the food chain. Maybe this is the moment where people stop taking food for granted and start cooking for their families and understand how really vital food is, not just to our bodies, but also to the environment and to the social fabric. And I thought, I want to bear witness to this. I want to see what happens during this time. I mean, maybe all the farmers are going to go out of business, or maybe they're all going to get our support. And I just, when we get to the other end of this, I want to understand why. And I just started reaching out to farmers and chefs across the country and saying, you know, tell me what's going on with you. Well, of course, in the beginning, we didn't expect that it was going to go on for years. Right. You know, we thought it would be a few months. But what happened over the course of this time was I ended up understanding how little I had really understood the food system. And so what we really want this film to do is you get to meet the farmers, and you get to understand how really difficult farming is in this country and why. And we found a bunch of farmers who actually found good solutions to the problems of farming in America. And for me, it was just, you know, my husband says this is when I went to graduate school. That, you know, I mean, I went into this thinking, oh, I know everything about the food system and realized how little I knew. And then I fell in love with all these people. I mean, you know, these farmers, ranchers, kelp farmers, we need to give them more help than we're giving them.
Where does one of the things that you look at is that it's all so much about producing so much at a cheap price. And it comes from that, right? I mean, that's sort of the starting point of where the problem starts to develop.
Yes. I mean, this is a systemic problem. This is coming out of World War II. The American government decided that the most effective way to fight communism was by having the cheapest, most abundant food supply in the world. And that has been government policy. And what has come out of that policy is, environmental disaster, a health crisis in this country. You know, 6 out of 10 Americans have chronic diseases that are food related. We've destroyed huge swaths of rural America. And it's something we really need to address. And we raise food that has no nutrient value at all. And that's a problem.
Give us a sense of was there ever a golden age where we did it right?
Going into we were an agrarian economy going into World War II, and we were doing it right. You know, we were feeding our own communities. We had regional food sheds. We were, small farmers across the country were raising food, and it was good food. But then we started creating farms on a factory model and changed everything. And it all became about, how fast can we raise food? How cheaply can we raise it? And it doesn't matter what we're doing to the land, and it really doesn't matter what we're doing to our bodies. And we are reaping the consequences of that. But yes, I mean, 100 years ago, we did things right.
One of the things that comes through loud and clear in the documentary, and I just couldn't get over it, is just how precarious and fragile the system is. It doesn't take much to screw it up.
It really doesn't. And that is, that is the big lesson of COVID. And one of the things we really, focus on is, the farmers that we focus on in this documentary are all people who have figured out a better way to do things, and they're doing it. And the hope is that, if we all start paying attention to this and start demanding that the government actually help farmers rather than, hurt them, we would have a better food system.
Ruth Reichel is our guest. The film Food and Country will open the Berkshire International Film Festival tonight. You can find out more information by going to BIFFMA.org. You spoke with farmers, you spoke with ranchers, and you kind of traded notes. I'm interested in how this all because one of the other fascinating aspects of this is how this really ties into what you are known for of showing what restaurants can do in writing restaurant reviews or in gourmet of what someone in creating a culinary art of what can be done. And how does this affect that?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
I can give it another shot.
Okay.
Meaning you've written a lot about food. You've written a lot about restaurants. You've written, obviously gourmet. How does what is happening with farmers, what is happening with ranchers, the raw ingredients, what is coming to restaurant menus? I assume you saw this from one vantage point. You now see it from another vantage point and how one affects the other.
Yeah. I would say that, the answer to that is that I really feel like the farmers have been voiceless for such a long time. We have really focused on chefs. And, what I've seen, in the course of my career is amazing. Chefs who used to just be these guys back in the kitchen have become rock stars and superstars, and the very fact that we care about them has changed the way we look at food. And I think that this is the time when the producers need to have a voice, and we need to understand who the ranchers are. I mean, there's a rancher in this. I mean, we call him the hot cowboy because he's you know, he's very articulate and handsome, and he really is a cowboy. But, you know, he said to me in the course of reporting this movie, he said, you know, I go to the bank every year. I borrow $8 million. I work 100 hours a week. I work three jobs. And in a good year, I take home $50,000. Do you think I want my children to do that? Mm. And that is the ultimate question. You know, if we don't start paying attention, if we don't give a voice, if we don't understand who these amazing people who are raising our food are, we won't have anybody raising food in this country. And so, you know, what I'm hoping is that we will all sort of sit up and understand what a resource we have here. And just as, you know, the media over the last 50 years has, you know, made restaurants visible in a way that they weren't before, I think it's time to make the farmers visible.
What story?
Does that answer your question?
It absolutely does. I mean, what story do you think it's essential that the farmers tell so that they don't become irrelevant?
Well, you know, I mean, I think for one thing, what we all learned during COVID is that, you know, this isn't just an issue of, you know, are we, you know, going to, you know, have good food in this country? It's a national security issue. If we can't feed ourselves, we're in trouble. And right now, what we mostly raise in this country are commodities. And so, you know, we need to understand that the farmers who get government support, and we do support farms to the tune of $50 billion a year, but it goes to corporate farms, not to the people who are our neighbors here in the Hudson Valley. And who are raising the wonderful food that we eat. And we really need to change that formula.
How challenging, and I know we talked about this when we last spoke, but just give us a sense of how challenging it was, because COVID was going on, and you were home for a lot of this, of working on this and doing a lot of this, the legwork from the Hudson Valley.
It was, you know, this movie is not what we expected. We thought I would do the reporting and then we would go out and go shoot at the farms. But what happened was, you know, this went on. And every time we'd get ready to go to the farms, we couldn't get on airplanes. And, you know, we're talking to people all across the country. But something else happened that we had not expected, which was the Zooms that I did with people became so intimate. You know, I mean, I did not meet most of these people in person until after the film was done. But, you know, at one point, almost everybody in the film said to me, "You're like my shrink," because here I was, you know, we were all locked up. And here was this voice from outside coming in, and everybody was, you know, pretty much with their families. And here I was, a stranger coming in, and people just, so people cry on camera. I mean, something that I think only happened because of COVID. You know, it was a very emotionally fraught time, and I was able to develop these really close relationships. And I have to tell you, when I met everybody, and we brought all of the people in the film out to the premiere at Sundance, and it was so emotional. We all cried for days, just, you know, meeting each other, getting to know each other in person. And the amazing thing was that much as I love these people, meeting them on Zoom, I love them even more in person. Yeah. And this is like also one of the things that I've always believed, is that food transcends politics. And that certainly became the case in this film. I mean, we have people across the political spectrum in this film, and they all bonded in the, you know, time when we were all together.
Food and Country is the opening night film for the Berkshire International Film Festival, the 17th annual event. It takes place tonight at 6 p.m., and you can find out more information at the Mahawi, by the way, in Great Barrington. You can find out more information by going to BIFMA.org, BIFFMA.org. Ruth Reichel, it's always a great pleasure and a delight to speak with you. Have a beautiful evening tonight. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. We will talk to Stephen Wang about his participation in BIFMA after this news from the BBC. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.